Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1. Many times the book of Isaiah is referred to as the Gospel of Isaiah. I know it's an Old Testament book. I understand that. But Isaiah presents Jesus Christ perhaps as no other Old Testament book does. He talks about the virgin birth. He talks about the incarnation. He talks about the fact that Jesus is the light of the world and he would come to bring light to his people. He talks about many things. And like I said, probably the message of Jesus Christ and his coming is told no better in the entire Old Testament than in the book of Isaiah. But let's look at the book of Isaiah chapter 1. And let's go ahead and begin at verse... Well, I tell you what, I'd like to read a lot of this. I'd like to read a lot of it. So let's start at verse 10. But let's pray first. Heavenly Father, the title of my message and the direction of my message has to do with the redemption and the salvation that we have through the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, I want people to see Jesus Christ. I've said it again and again and again, and I've prayed it again and again and again. My only reason for being on this station or any other radio station is that people would see Jesus when they listen to this program. Lord, open the eyes of the blind. Lord, those that sat in darkness, let them see a great light. And Lord, I know that me, this preacher, isn't worth a whole lot, but my Lord and Savior, the one that I preach, He can do something in the hearts and lives of the people. So Lord, help them today. Help them to see Christ. Help them to be delivered of perhaps their besetting sins. Lord, help them today. And I ask and praise you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So let's start in verse 10 of Isaiah, and I'm going to read most of the chapter, I suppose. And as I said, I'm going to talk about the blood of Jesus Christ and how it relates to our salvation. But he says, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom, and give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah." And honestly, he's talking to the people of Israel, but it's an indictment against them. Many times the people of God will go astray, and God always wants them to come back. He always sends a prophet or a messenger from God to turn the people from sin and back to the ways of righteousness. But he says, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of burnt offerings of rams, and the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks, or lambs, or he-goats." Listen to this, verse 12. "When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand, to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me." Now, many of the things that you can read about in the Old Testament, you can read about the temple of God, and that's where God dwells. That's what God put into the heart of Moses, and he told Bezalel and Aholiab to build him a temple, to build him a tabernacle, that this would be God's house. And all through the Old Testament, and specifically in the books of the law, he said, "This is how you approach me. If you want to worship me, this is how you approach me. This is how, if you want to bring an offering to me, this is the way that you do it." And throughout the book of Leviticus and Exodus and what have you, you can read about the different sacrifices. You can read how God said, "Look, I have a specific prescribed way. If you want to come to me, this is what you do. This is the sacrifice that you bring." And this is how you can be saved. This is how you can be forgiven of your sins. But he says, look at this. Let's read that again, verse 12. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? God says, if you want to come to me, you come to my temple, and eventually it was in Jerusalem. And he said that there's no other place that you should worship in the Old Testament except in Jerusalem. But who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, all of your prayer meetings, all of your holy days, all of the days that you call as esteemed, he says, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. You say, I'm confused, preacher. What do you mean? Too often we get caught up in the doing of religion, one preacher has said. Too often we get caught up in just the different, I guess, institutions of the church. We know that we're supposed to attend church on Sunday, probably that we should go to Sunday school. It's not fashionable now, but you should go to church on Sunday night. Then there's the midweek service, and we take up an offering, and we sing a few songs. Maybe somebody will hold some kind of a meeting at the nursing home. And all of these things in themselves are good, but too often we get caught up. How does the saying go? We can't see the forest for the trees. Now, God is in heaven. God lives in heaven. Nobody here has seen God, but too often we get caught up in the things that are supposed to lead us to Him, the things that are supposed to glorify Him. We lose sight of God and we focus on the things. We focus on, sometimes it becomes performance-based. Do I attend church enough? Have I been to Sunday school enough? Did I put enough money in the offering plate? And it's performance-based. And God says, I'm really not interested in that. The only performance He's interested in is what Jesus Christ, His Son, performed on the cross. Look at verse 14. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. Well, I thought it was wrong to hate. Well, it's right to hate that which is evil. God hates sin. And in this passage, he's saying, your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth, for they are a trouble to me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. You know, I'm reminded of Proverbs. Too often in Proverbs it says that God would say, I have these things against you, and he will list a few things that the people have been doing wrong, and then God answers for the people and says, Where have we done this, or why have we done this? And then God will give an answer. When you read the prophets, most of the prophets in the Old Testament point out sin. Yes, Isaiah takes a lot of time to point out the coming Messiah. Many, many times you'll read that they're pointing out the things that the people are doing wrong. And always when God is trying to correct, he will always show grace. He will always show mercy. He will always show a way to be forgiven of whatever sin the people are involved in. Look at verse 16. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, and plead for the widow. You can read in chapter 58 of this same book of Isaiah. And he's instructing the people. He said, if you want to do right, then these are the things that you can do right. Do the things that everyone knows is correct. He said, learn to do well, seek judgment. In other words, let's do the right thing. Then he says, relieve the oppressed. If you see someone struggling with, I don't know, finances or maybe a marriage problem or maybe some problem at work or whatever, and you have an opportunity to help them, go ahead and reach out your hand and help them. Judge the fatherless. That means those that are orphans. That we're supposed to look out for those that basically have been dealt the short end of the stick in life. Plead for the widow. And again, that's that same idea of reaching out and helping those besides ourselves. That's what Isaiah chapter 58 talks about. He says let's jump over there just briefly, and I don't want to quote it from memory. Let's go ahead and jump over. And again, my sermon is on the blood of Jesus Christ, but when I looked at, in preparing, I guess, for the message, I looked at this first chapter of Isaiah, and I said, man, this is wonderful stuff. Yes, it's hard. It's difficult stuff. But honestly, it's wonderful, because, like I said, God always thinks of redemption. Anytime He points out sin, anytime He shows us where people are doing wrong, He always shows us redemption. So Isaiah chapter 58. Let's look at verse 6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to deal you bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, that thou hide not thine own self from thine own flesh. In other words, we should be our brother's keeper. We should look out for someone else besides ourselves. And I've said this before, that Jesus did not look out for number one. He looked out for everyone else, and that if he got taken care of later, well, good. And if not, well, it didn't matter. Verse 8, again, we're in Isaiah chapter 58. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. Thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward, or rearward, actually. Verse 9, then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. Look at these wonderful promises. If we will only do the right thing, not care about ourselves, but care about those that are less fortunate. Verse 11, the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought. Make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and a spring of water whose waters fail not. Now this is the Old Testament, but I see several of the gifts of the Spirit, which is what we talked the first few broadcasts of last month. He talks about healing. Thine health shall spring forth speedily. He talks about that the Lord would guide us, that the Lord would lead us. That's the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. You see, even in the Old Testament, you can find where God talks about the gifts and the power of the Spirit. And again, we said that the gifts of the Spirit have to do with showing people Jesus Christ and having them get to know Him in a better way. But let's go back to Isaiah. And we'll get really the next verse here. Verse 18 is what I really intended to preach about. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. And probably this is a familiar verse. There have been songs that have been written that take these very verses. He said, Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That's a wonderful, wonderful promise right here. That your sins, and again, I was a sinner, you were a sinner, perhaps you still are a sinner. Everyone, it says, was born in sin. Everyone needs a Savior. What is a Savior? A Savior is someone that saves you or delivers you from sin. But he says, Come now, let us reason together. Let's sit down and talk about this, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. What does it say? What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That song, that wonderful hymn, references this verse right here. That no matter how deep in sin we go, no matter how messed up our lives are, if we'll turn our lives to Jesus Christ, He can forgive, He can deliver, He can set free, and He can wonderfully cleanse. God will forgive you if you'll turn your life to Him. No matter what you've done in your heart, in your life, God will forgive you. If you've killed someone, if you've stolen, if you cheated on your spouse, it doesn't matter. You may have consequences to pay, or you may have consequences for your actions. But if you'll turn your heart to God and ask His forgiveness, He will forgive you. He will make it as though you've never done these things. He will change your heart. What did He say in Psalms chapter 51? He said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." God is able to deal with the sin problem. And again, we all have this problem. We're all born with the terminal disease of sin, of the sin nature. But God can make us anew. He said, "Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings." He can deliver, and He did it through the blood that Jesus Christ, God's Son, shed on Mount Calvary. When He was nailed to the cross, it says, when He was on the cross, I was on His mind. Jesus Christ didn't die for Himself. It says in the Old Testament that he would be cut off. It's in Daniel. He would be cut off, but not for Himself. He was taken from the land of the living. In other words, He died, but He did not die for Himself. He was innocent of all sin. He was the spotless Lamb, that's Jesus. But He went to the cross willingly, willingly gave up His life, that we could be free, that we could be delivered of our sins, that we could have forgiveness. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's jump here to verse 25. "And I will turn my hand upon thee, and purely purge away thy dross, and take away all thy tin." We talked about that a couple of weeks ago, maybe it was last week, I don't remember, that God will deliver, that God will help you, that God will clean you up, that the things that are wrong in your life, God will turn it around. But He has to work on the inside. He has to work on your heart. He has to purge you. He has to flush you out, as it were. And He says, "And take away all thy tin and purge your dross." When they heat metal, when they purify metal, they have to, let's say they're going to make some sort of casting, if they want to make a ring or something, or if you're a hunter, you know anything about reloading your own ammunition, you can cast your own bullets. And when you do that, you'll go perhaps, let's say the service station, you can sometimes if they work on tires, they'll collect the weights, the lead there, and you'll take it and you'll heat it up to the melting point. And as you're heating the lead, all the impurities, all the maybe the different impurities, maybe some of the alloy, maybe some of the dirt or whatever it is, that will float to the top, and then you can scoop it off. I've personally done this. I've personally scooped off the dross. The stuff that you scoop off is called dross. "And take away all thy tin," in other words, an impurity. That's what God does for us. That's what God does. He will purge us. He will prune us. That's another metaphor that God uses. But He has to do this if we're going to progress, if we're going to grow in the Lord. He has to purge us. But in order to purge us, if you're melting metal, you have to heat it up. You have to heat it up very, very hot. If you're a tree and God wants to prune you, if you want to use that metaphor, then the cutting off of that branch hurts. So, yes, God has to do things to clean us up, but sometimes it's painful. And the Holy Spirit, one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to do exactly that. Again, He shows us Jesus Christ. That's really His one big job, is to present Jesus Christ. But He will purge us. He will make us more like Christ. I said a while ago that every man is born in sin. Every man has the sin nature, and He will work on our hearts as we yield to Him. And He will deliver us from those things that that are not good for us, but it takes a purging. Tell you what, let's go ahead and jump to the book of Romans. The book of Romans, I guess we can start in verse 23 of a very familiar passage. For all have sinned, this is Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being freely justified by His grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. To redeem means to buy back. To be justified is to be declared righteous. And we said grace last time. Grace is God's unmerited favor. So God will freely declare us to be righteous and holy. Through His unmerited favor, He will buy us back from sin. But look at verse 25. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. If you trust that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, and that He bled and died for your sins, then you can be forgiven, you can be saved, you can be delivered from your sin. You can know that if you died today, that you would go to heaven. You can know that you're saved. You don't have to guess at it. When you die, you don't have to stop off at purgatory. The word purgatory is an invention. Purgatory is not found in the Bible. Purgatory is not the truth. Purgatory does not exist. And those that tell you have to go to purgatory are really telling you that you cannot be forgiven of your sin. But it says, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness, not yours, but His, for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. God is saying here that if you'll trust in Him, you can be forgiven of your sin. But you must trust in His blood. It says you must have faith in His blood. And what, you see, we're sinners, and only the blood of Jesus Christ was worthy enough to pay the penalty for sin. Let's jump to another chapter here. Let's go ahead and look at Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Let's look at verse 14. Well, I tell you what, let's start at verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father. This is Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. If giving thanks to the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in lights. In other words, you can go to heaven. You can know that you can go to heaven. You can be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. If you served the devil before, you can be delivered. You can live for God, and He can deliver you. If you're addicted to drugs, God can set you free. You don't have to go to any treatment. You don't have to take methadone. Jesus Christ can deliver you from drug addiction. I know I was addicted to drugs. Jesus Christ set me free November 30th, 1984. Jesus changed my life. I know that this is real. Let's look at verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Let me read that again. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. If that phrase there, through His blood, isn't in your Bible, and perhaps it's not, let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. It says it very clearly. In all Bibles, all translations in English have this phrase. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, He can wash them white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God can change you. God can deliver you. He can set you free. He can set you free from drug addiction, from alcohol, from pornography, you name it, whatever God, whatever is wrong with your life, God can fix it. But Jesus Christ had to die on the cross. He had to suffer and die for you. You can be forgiven. You can be redeemed. You can be bought back. You can be justified. You can be declared righteous and holy. But Jesus had to hang on the cross and bleed and die so that you could go free. Friend, give your life to Him today. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. Or just go to the main page and follow the links on the left, and you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.